They say life begins at 40. Age is just a state of mind.
I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other and,
Mommy, Daddy.
Today, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
It's another hot and beautiful week in Louisville, Kentucky. Speaking to the world, however, through the magic of the World Wide Web. Here we are again.
Yes.
And thank you for joining us, everyone.
The interwebs connecting with us.
Yeah, I'm dealing with a little bit of negativity today.
Uh-oh.
And it's not my negativity, it's a lot of other people's negativity. So I, on the drive over here, I was like, you know what, I gotta put all that behind me. I can't go in and turn on a microphone and be, you know, Mr. Bummed Out guy.
Yeah.
I'm not bummed
wah,
out.
Wah. But,
you know, I do have developments, I suppose.
Oh.
It doesn't affect anybody but the five people in our house.
Okay.
It seems as if we're probably going to get a dog tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Have you picked it out?
Yes.
Is it a rescue dog?
It's a rescue dog.
Awesome.
We're Labrador people, so we're going to go pick out a Labrador from the, well, we've picked her out, I mean, for the most part. And the kids can't stop talking about her, but from the Kentucky Lab Rescue in Winchester, Kentucky.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So did you just see a picture online?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So you haven't met the dog yet.
No, I was in Lexington yesterday, and I was going to go, you know, meet it. And probably bring it home and surprise everybody. But I thought that was too big of a deal. I can't be the guy who I think it's going to affect everybody's life for the next 10 plus years. So
right.
I think everybody needed to be there. So I didn't go.
And so how old is the dog?
She's four.
Four, nice.
Yeah. She's a little older than we wanted.
But that's
she's
okay.
A little less male than we wanted.
Okay. We've only had female dogs.
Well, our last dog was a female, and she was wonderful. But she was a little standoffish, and I think that's true of female dogs for the most part. They, from what I read, they're less chummy. They don't sit at your feet. They're happy to be in the same room with you, but they don't need
right.
to claim you as their own like a boy dog
okay,
does.
Okay,
so.
Gotcha.
So, but it, she's beautiful.
Is she yellow, black,
she's
chocolate?
Yellow.
She's yellow lab.
She looks like a... Like she jumped out of an Orvis catalog.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing with like a four-year-old dog because most people would want a puppy. Those
right.
four-year-old dogs, they're harder to
right.
get adopted.
Yeah. The I don't see how anybody, any eight-year-old dog gets adopted. But I guess they do. But, you know, if we were to get an eight-year-old lab, it's a five-year commitment at the most.
Right. And with young kids, you know,
yeah,
it'd be nice
them.
To have a little longer time with them.
This will be their childhood dog. So, yeah, anyhow, that's buoyed my spirit
Yay!
Somewhat. So we got to get up in the
I
morning.
I bet there's big discussions about a name.
Yeah, she comes with a prefab name that we're going to have to get rid of.
Yes, we had prefab names too. Like our dogs were Tiffany and something else I can't remember.
Come on, what do they have? Like a dartboard with names
I
on
know.
It?
And the dog we adopted, Dee Dee, who was Tiffany, she's like 80 pounds, husky
yeah,
dog.
She's no
she
Tiffany.
Is not Tiffany.
No, this dog is not a Missy either.
Missy.
So
yeah.
I don't want to confuse the poor dog if that's been her name for 4 years, so we might have to call her Miss V.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
I like the idea of having a Mrs. or a Mr. or a Doctor. We can call her Doctor.
Yeah.
She can be a doctor, right?
Sure. Somebody in the family.
She should be Doctor. Yeah. That's
we'll get her a diploma.
That's the only
We're
one
so
I'm going to get.
Proud of our doctor.
My kids are convinced they're all going to stay home and not do anything productive in life. I just want to live with you. Okay.
No, my daughter has big plans. She has it all lined up, what she's going to do.
You know what?
Where she's going to college and everything.
It's funny you should bring that up because that's kind of what we're going to talk
right.
about today on today's show. We all have plans. We all have ideas. We all have the direction that and a map for our lives. And sometimes that turns out and sometimes it doesn't. And new opportunities come up.
Right.
So you've spoken with somebody along those lines that we'll feature on today's show.
Yes. Yes. Because I think in our generation, particularly the rise of technology and the internet and all this have changed things
right.
entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk to Betsy Waters, who does what I do here in Louisville online, but she does it in Lexington. And
what's the name of her site?
Lex Fun for Kids.
Oh, there you go.
And it's the number 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can find it online. But nobody, when I was in high school, I wouldn't have been like, I'm going to be a website owner. It was barely websites, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and so it wasn't something you could have a career in. We knew this is happening. There was email. We were on the computers and things like that. But nobody, I think, would envision ways to monetize that 20 years down the road where it actually becomes a business and it's viable.
I've laid out on Ball State many times because I graduated in 1994. And really, no, I don't remember anybody telling me about the internet except for I think I used it to do a paper for my law class, which I subsequently
and you'd have to go to the library to do it.
I had to go to the library, and I did have an email address, but it was a long string. And so they were convinced that satellite radio was going to be the thing to disrupt media. No, they were kind of wrong about that. Because two years later, AOL says, hey, you know what? For $20, everybody gets all the internet they want in a month. It was dial-up, and it sucked. But still, it was the internet, and we didn't see that coming. So,
And so as things change, opportunities change, and that's kind of what happened to me. That's what happened to Betsy. She'll tell you about.
Right.
But yeah, there's just I wonder. There's some staple careers. There will always be accountants.
Well, you were a staple, right?
I was a staple. I was a school teacher, and so there are those careers, and I think that's what kids think of. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a vet. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a teacher. You know, there's those. Right. 12 things, maybe I'm a firefighter, but nobody dreams up, I'm going to work in digital ad sales.
I want to be an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
I don't know that, I mean, that's sort of, that's so vague.
Right.
You know, even, I was always jealous when I was selling radio time and working in radio of people who, when you say, well, what do you do for a living? They could say, well, I'm a police officer.
Right.
Or I'm an accountant, or I'm a chiropractor, whatever it is, because there was so much definition in their life. And at one point in my career, I was really jealous of that because I wanted that definition. And then I realized, you know what? Why do I need a definition? I there's all sorts of stuff I can do. And that really was a big mind shift for me. My dad was an entrepreneur, but he was a flower shop owner. He was a florist. So he ran his own business, but it was very traditional in that sense. So.
Yeah, and so I don't think that that's something that is you can pick what you're going to do, because most people at different ages and different stages don't know what the opportunities are.
Yeah.
And so I went into life thinking I went to college. I was going to be a doctor. And I took the preliminary class freshman year where they weed out everybody and just annihilate you, and it's so hard, you know. And
I don't know that experience.
I mean, it was a big shock to my system, being an uber geek coming out of high school, never having gotten anything lower than A ever, going to college and being just felt so defeated. And I said, well, I'm just not.
So you went out and got drunk like the rest of us.
More like I ate ice cream, got the freshman 50 or whatever, 15 was more like 50. But so I kind of wondered, what am I going to do? I took a math class. I got my first, you know, really good grade in a challenging class. And I said, well, I'll be a math major. And so from that, my sister was a math major too, but she's an actuary. And most people are like, what is that?
No, I know what it is. I just can't imagine the life.
I know. So my sister's an actuary. And so that's all I knew of people who were math majors. Like, oh, Suzanne was a math major and she became an actuary and she works in Lower Manhattan. And I was like, I don't want to do that. What am I going to do?
No.
So about, you know, the track sophomore, junior year, I went in, got my minor in education, and pursued the teacher track because I always liked tutoring and teaching. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. So that's what I did for several years after college. I worked in a big, big, huge Friday Night Lights type school in Dallas, Texas. It was...
Some people relate to that, but I've never seen that show.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're talking about. Or movie, for
that matter. Huge. Just enormous school.
Okay.
You can,
I
you
know? I got it.
We're the math wing. I never left the math wing. I didn't know any of the teachers that taught else, you know, because there were so many math teachers that was enough to keep track of. And so I did that. I went back to graduate school. I thought I'd get a master's degree and run a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So doing stuff in education and helping kids, at-risk youth. And so I did that after graduate school. I work for a charter school. We don't have those here in Kentucky. Nope. So people are like, what's that? But in Texas, I work for a charter school. But then I became a mommy, you know, when we moved.
That's kind of a changing circumstance.
Yeah, so that changes everything.
Right.
Because then it'd be...
For some people, and yeah, not for everybody.
We moved to North Carolina. I was still teaching, and my husband got his master's degree. And then I had a child, and I had to decide, do I want to go back to teaching? I had my son in the spring, so I had the whole summer to think about it. And I decided not to. And then I stayed home with the kids for 6.5 years. And my entrepreneurial spirit came out then.
Right.
Because...
You moved here.
I did. During that time, I did move here.
Yeah.
And so... one of the changing things was, though, the fact that when I moved from North Carolina and Texas, I had no problem with my teaching license. When I moved to Kentucky, Kentucky denied me a teaching license.
Well, how about that?
I know. Hmm. Awesome.
You must be too good.
I know.
Ouch.
It was so... So my husband and I would look at my resume and go, why? What are you going to do? Because everything was teaching, and I was a bona fide, certified, award-winning teacher.
Even in private school, you couldn't?
I could teach in private school. Okay. But Kentucky would not give me a teaching license for public school. They said I had to go back and get a master's degree in either mathematics or education, and I was like, okay, no. So
I'm sure that they had their well-thought-out reasons. I don't understand the background. We don't need to get into that today.
I know. Whole other story. But that was something out of my control, that I had to change a career because there are rules and I can't be a teacher. That's when I created the website, but I did not create it with the intention of making it a business.
That's how it happens
for
a lot of people. I mean, I did 90 something episodes talking to entrepreneurs, you yourself included, about how it happened. And a lot of people, it's like, well, it just kind of happened. I mean, I had an idea and I talked to some people and they said, well, that's a good idea. You should do that. And they did it.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Right. So. And so here I am. I still dabble in a lot of things. I tutor every Tuesday. I tutor a girl going into sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't let go of all that. But I have my online stuff. And through that developed I learned a lot about online media, about marketing, about PR. And so that's kind of where I transformed and started working from their more traditional jobs, if you will, where you go into an office, not me at home with my barking dogs and laptop to run my business. So
I just wanted to be a radio guy. Look at me now.
You are sort of.
I was for more than half my life.
Right.
Through high school, up through college, right after college. Internet started sort of taking hold as a commercial entity in 2005. So I jumped out and became a digital guy instead of radio. But still, you know, this podcasting is kind of, what do I call it? Radio on demand or?
Right.
It's
radio-ish.
Is. Redefining talk radio. That's what it says on our sign hanging right over here.
Can
everybody see that?
If it's on the sign.
That's right.
It's
it must
real.
Be true.
Yeah.
So it's been an adventure. And I think that many people can relate to that because they come out like your kids. I want to be a veterinarian or whatever it is, and sometimes it's not suited for you.
Or so, they try it, and you know, a lot of teachers that I know, for example, 3 years, there's a threshold, studies show X number of years and they leave because that's probably how long it takes somebody to process.
Unless you're a millennial, then it's 7 months.
Right. To process it and go, I don't think this is right for me, and have the courage to do something else. Yeah. It takes a little time to do that.
Well, you had a good conversation, and we'll talk to her, and we'll come back with some other stuff, including, of course, words of wisdom for the week.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
what do two Kentucky bloggers do on a Tuesday when they have no kids around? They meet up in Frankfurt on 64 and find a Panera, right? So I'm here with Betsy. She's from Lex Fun for Kids online, and she does kind of what I do in Louisville, but in Lexington. So say hi, everybody.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Betsy is a self-proclaimed PTA mom, PTA president. She wears a crown around with her.
That's right. All the time.
And so I want you to just take a moment, tell people about the history of what you've done in Lexington and when you got started and why you started your website, just like I did on the podcast a few weeks back, and tell everybody just a little bit about yourself and your website and how they can find you.
My name is Betsy Waters, and I am a stay-at-home mom. I work part-time for a couple of little things, but I started staying at home 10 years ago when my first son was born. I was a school teacher, and I taught primary.
See, that's why we're like kindred spirits. Your story's like mine.
So I was going to stay home. My husband was working from home at the time, and so now we have a small child at home as well who needs to get out and about, so that my husband can have conference calls. So then another 22 months later, we have a second child who is now home with all of us having this big party.
Sounds like a party!
And it gets to be a noisy party. So I started sharing things that I was doing in Lexington with some other mom friends that I had met through a mom's club. And it was getting tedious to email them and tell them what I was doing for the week.
You were their personal event planner?
I was. I was telling them, okay, we're doing this story time, then we're going here, then we're going to do this, and this is going on this week. I grew up in Lexington, so I'm very familiar with the area. Born and raised there, been there all my life. So it just kind of comes second nature to go do all the things that Lexington has, and I know what they are. And so you take for granted the fact that there are so many new people around, and they don't know the same things that you do.
How did you not know about the Arboretum?
So I was sharing that, and it got tedious to email. So I thought, well, I'm going to start one of those blog things.
One of those? Exactly, right? Yes. So this was like 2011. Right.
And so at the time I had, it was about 2010, 2011. I had a two-year-old and almost four-year-old at the time. And it started getting bigger and bigger after I created the blog, the original Blogspot address. And so it
with a free Blogspot as well. You see,
it's the same kind of thing. And that's when I found you, too, and other people that do what we do and share all the fun things that their own home city has. And it's just grown and grown, and it's been amazing to see how many people recognize my kids. I got spotted at the pool. I get spotted. And they're like, wait a minute.
Well, your boys are like all blonde and stuff. They're really recognizable.
Yes. And so it's been fun to watch it grow and see that it reaches so many families and that it's meaningful to people.
It helps people.
Yes. And I know when I was a stay-at-home mom that I was always looking for something to do with my kids. And it doesn't have to be something amazing and cost $100. And it can be something as simple as going to those free spots that you may not know about yet, but that's what I like sharing.
And that's what Dan and I have talked about on the podcast before, just about things don't need a ticket to be awesome. I mean, granted, some ticketed things are worth it. They're awesome. They're great. They're great for special occasions. But those little gems, people like us in the cities, not just those websites that share content and blast things out, and there's some person, I don't even know where they're from, you know, some of those websites, but the women, the parents out there doing it every day, doing it because they need to keep their sanity, you know, with those little kids. And you care about their education. You care about saving money for your family. You find those things and share them with people, and you find the gems.
And the great thing is, I've been there, I've done that. So I know what I'm sharing.
So you're a know-it-all?
I know-it-all about everything. And that's what I like about it is that it's practical advice, it's real, it's not just a fluff thing that doesn't give you the facts. You know, it is this, oh, don't go, oh, it's too crowded, or go at this time, it's better.
Those tips that
people really need. The handy tips that people need when they want to get out there and do something.
So now, your website, tell people the URL so they can find it.
It's www.lexfun, then the number 4, LexFunForKids.com. LexFunForKids.com.
All right. And I'm sure you're on that Facebook thing and the Twitter thing and the, you know, all
the
of our
Instagram thing. Yes. It's all at LexFunForKids.
So it's so all it's, the same. Easy to find you. And this has become a little bit of a business for you as well. It's not just, it's something you do for fun, but also it's something that's now benefiting your family, right?
It is. For years, I had just done it as a fun way for me to share what we were doing and to reach families and to kind of give back. And so now I see how much time and effort I'm putting into it and the hours that I put into it. And it's been nice to share that popularity with advertisers and people that want to get the word out about what they're doing and benefit my family as well.
And I view it as just another way of helping people because you're giving a new source of marketing opportunity to an advertiser. And it's really affordable because you're a sole proprietor. You know, doing this, you're not printing out a whole bunch of papers and having to distribute them everywhere. It's just, it's you.
It's me. It benefits my family. It's a direct, you know, local business that you're supporting, that businesses are supporting, and I want to support those local businesses. It's a great trade to get the word out about specific things, and it's nice because I know what they offer, and I do feel like a lot of those advertisers that I work with, it's a benefit to my family to know about what they've got going on, and so I'd like to share that with everybody.
Well, thank you for meeting Long 64 here at Panera, sharing some awesome green tea that I'm now addicted to, and being my people on the street today. And I think we'll have you back on another podcast.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
She seems really nice.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. Us bloggers are just darn good people.
Nice. Well, yeah, I can.
She too
I
was.
I know some bloggers who are a little curmudgeonly.
No. Us mommy bloggers, you know, we're family fun entertainment. We can't be grumpy.
Keeping it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know blog, pretty much everything on the web is a blog at this point, right? I mean, there are news sites, I suppose, but there's opinion just kind of sprinkled throughout everything.
Yes, and so it's, I don't know what the pure definition yet of defining something as a blog is.
I think it, like, just like life and the theme of the show, things evolve. And, yes, you know, blogs were originally something you subscribed to and you would get an RSS thing or an email kicked to you.
Exactly.
And a matter of fact, I'm just going to grouse for a minute, if I may. I'm going to go negative. That's right.
Uh-oh. You said at the beginning that you were feeling it.
I know. The pop-up ad or mechanism on blogs that say, hey, subscribe to our newsletter.
No.
When did the pop-up become acceptable again?
I am not okay with the pop-up.
I'm not either.
I have had businesses come to me asking if they can place a pop-up ad on my website. Mm. And I just get resounding.
It's not even an ad. It's the blogger itself or themselves saying,
prompting,
hey,
the newsletter.
Yeah, subscribe to our newsletter. Look, bro, I know that you have a newsletter. I can see it right there. If I want to join it, I'll join it.
Right.
Not every single time I come to this site, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, and sometimes even upon refresh or something, it'll pop up again. No, I'm not cool with the pop-ups.
Let that be a lesson to you, bloggers.
Yes. All right. No pop-ups. I don't even do newsletters on my blog.
Well, thank you to you and the other mom bloggers out there for keeping it nice, keeping
so
it sunny.
Positive. We need some positivity.
Well, we do. Yeah. I mean, we were talking off mic. This has been a rough couple of weeks for the United States and for the world in general. I mean, we're recording this on a Friday. And so last night, a guy driving a truck plowed people over in France. And it's just the worst. I can't even, my mind can't wrap itself around what that experience might have been like. And then there are pictures of this dad and the son, and they've got their baseball stuff and they're
even,
I can't even, oh God, I'm gonna puke. I mean, it's just bad.
Well, you get on social media, that's usually where I think people find out about this stuff fast and first. And I remember last night I'm going on social media and I'm like, something else happened.
Yeah,
I started to see a trend,
right?
But it was still fresh and new, so I didn't know exactly what happened.
You know what I
And I knew it happened in France, so I just Googled France to see what the top
when
news
I,
was. And
when I first ugh. Got, I got a news notification. I was driving home from Lexington yesterday, and I get and my phone goes bleep, and I look down just the top of my phone. I get little notifications. I can read partial of a headline, and it said truck plows into crowd. So I'm like, shame on me. But the first thing I thought was, oh, some old person lost control of their car and drove into a crowd. Because it happens. But, you know, they don't have to be old. That's really bad of me. It could be like we talk about Madison, and they have their boat race up there several years ago. Some kids were driving down the street sniffing computer air cleaner stuff and passed out and plowed through the crowd there and drove the car into down the riverbank and into the water. And, I mean, that was terrible to see because I was standing right there like 45 seconds before that. That was a nice brush with perspective.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Seriously, when you go. But that's how I think we're just living in a time where I'm just waiting.
Yeah. Like, what's next?
What's next?
What's next?
I think that's what most people's mentality is now.
Does it have to be our mentality? I don't. That's a rhetorical question.
No.
Like I don't have an answer to that. So
yeah, I don't know either. But it's hard to avoid that kind of mentality, I think, when, like I said, it's just one surprise bad thing after another.
Yeah. We've gotten used to waking up and reaching for our phones and thinking, oh, what happened last night?
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Bad.
And so I'm not. I don't think I want to be oblivious to it all.
No, you can. Well, it's current events.
You can't. But I also don't walk around all day with a dark cloud over my head going, you know, just waiting.
Right.
Looking around, thinking
We can't live in fear.
Yeah,
I can't. You can't. It'll affect everybody too much. So do you talk to your children about this stuff, or are they too young?
Well, they know enough. Just the kids are connected. Even I feel like if I don't say something in 2 days, they know. Hmm. But they found out from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, even the trend with Pokemon Go, right?
Oh,
that started out with,
oh,
this is so cool. Pokemon Go. And then I pick up my son from camp and it was, oh, did you hear about the guy that got robbed because of Pokemon Go? Did you hear about
people that walked off a cliff?
Somebody walked off a cliff, mommy. I heard somebody is stabbing people with Pokemon Go. You know, they're hearing these things without me telling them. So part of me, I can't keep them in a bubble when they're around other kids, other families, other people. They have technology at their disposal. I regulate what they do on that technology, but still, you can't. So I more view it as maybe I. There are some cases where I go ahead and tell them things.
Yeah.
Because
your oldest is 9?
Right.
Yeah. My oldest is 11, so she's a little more aware of her surroundings in the world, and you know, she's getting to a point where she's showing an interest in this and how the world works. Where my 9-year-old, she's just happy to wear a shirt that says summertime forever, and you know, I frequently say that she has sunshine and rainbows in her heart.
Yeah.
And she does. And my 6-year-old boy just wants to know who won the All-Star game. So we do try to put things in context, of course. You know, we can't create an atmosphere of fear. We have to, we do live in a mostly wonderfully protected environment. A bubble, if you will, of safety for the most part. And it doesn't suck to have 2 police officers living 2 doors down from you. And their cars are there all the time.
All the time. There
so,
you go.
You know, people aren't breaking into. Never mind. I'm not going to tell people what I do wrong.
You just start greeting. Where does Dan Vonderman
live?
Yeah,
where's my land? No. Let's just say we leave our bikes in the yard from time to time, but I don't worry about it too much.
Right. So. But you never know if you don't address it with the kids. You don't know what they're going to see, because my daughter thinks at the age of 7 that there's a video for everything. So
I will not. If there's video of whatever happened last night,
no.
Why would you watch that?
But even when you think about even 9/11 or something like that, being able to watch all of those things happen, that's my first probably, you know, anything in the 80s or 90s, you'd watch it on delay. It was maybe clipped by the news, whatever.
Right.
You can see things real time now. Mm-hmm. You've got Facebook Live if somebody chooses to.
Well, yeah, that's what happened last week up in, Minneapolis.
Exactly. Yeah. And so my daughter, even if it's something bad and she hears about, oh, did somebody get robbed on Pokemon Go? Is there a video? It's like, even if there is, I'm not going to let you watch it. Right. She just thinks there's a video of everything.
You know, but the
and
first...
I don't want them to see those videos unless, you know, I don't know if I can keep her from that.
I know that 9/11, if you're our age, you certainly remember that very day very vividly. But I also remember the first beheading when there was a video of that. Oh. And it made its way mm-hmm. around and some people at work got the email on it. I was like, what are you guys doing? Why would you watch that? Of course, I'm the idiot that when YouTube first came out, I YouTubed an autopsy.
Oh, gosh.
Like, why would I?
But there's a video for everything.
Live and learn, people. Yes. That's my bad experience doesn't have to be your
don't
bad experience.
Do that.
You don't need to watch an autopsy on YouTube.
No.
Just because it's there doesn't mean it needs to be consumed.
Oh, gosh.
Well, let's move into, based on that conversation, our words of wisdom.
Man, I've got certain information.
What do you think the meaning of life is?
Best place to be is here. Best time to be is now.
Party on, dudes!
Little girls are delicate. Boy, you put in the backyard like a dog, it raises itself.
Words of wisdom.
So maybe we can bring a little positivity into the world, because I saw the simplest graphic on Facebook that somebody shared, and I said, look at this business. It was a coffee shop. I don't know where it was. Look at this business trying to make a point. The sign said,
everybody has a point to make, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it was a coffee shop, but it was a positive point that most people, when they think about, I'm going to go into this coffee shop, I'm going to order coffee, and I'm just going to get to work, they're not thinking about maybe the people behind the counter, the people around them. And are we being polite enough to each other to the point that that can affect somebody's day? Just,
you know what? I'd like to see people fighting over, no, you go first. No, you go first.
Exactly.
No, you go. That's the fight I want to
yeah,
see.
So that's how this sign reads. It's a coffee shop. So its price is listed. And it says small coffee, $5. And then it says small coffee, comma, please. $3.
Oh, nice.
And then the last says,
incentivizing manners.
May I please have a small cup of coffee? Thank you. $1.
Oh, I got to take my son for coffee. He's so good at that in restaurants.
Exactly.
May I please have the macaroni and cheese? I'm like, oh my gosh, who's
she
raising this kid?
This is so cute.
This is not my kid.
But that's what they
this
are
is
encouraging.
The same kid. The same kid that says,
you have got to be kidding me.
Yes. I love it. So you... this small business owner, this coffee shop owner, probably every day they have their customer service folks behind the counter, their baristas, if you will, getting, I guess, balked at small coffee, medium coffee, large coffee, without people being polite.
Right.
Because people are busy and they just want to get in, get their coffee, and leave.
Yeah.
But maybe if we're a little bit kind, it doesn't take any effort.
Be conscious that you're surrounded by human beings who have their own issues.
Right.
They're dealing with stuff, and maybe they, you know, look, I'm grumpy today. I admitted
exactly.
that at the beginning of the episode.
But somebody came up to you and they were super polite, and you were at Target and you only had one item, and they said, oh, please.
They've done that before. It was so great.
Yeah. And somebody was super polite to you. They went out of their way to use their words or their actions to be polite to you. That can change something. So when I think about people, the amount of people in this world that probably work in customer service, quick service restaurants, things like that, where they're interacting with hundreds of people a day. If we could just change, and people could, like this coffee shop is trying to do, use their basic manners, that those people will not have to be barked at all day long with commands. And it might be just nice.
The lack of decorum in society these days is evident. There's just, you know, it's even in Congress isn't doing many people a lot of favors these days. Nobody likes them anymore. their popularity rating is in the toilet, and there's, you know, whatever. But they still, when they argue on the floor, they still say the gentleman from Kentucky or the gentleman from South Carolina or all that stuff, so that at least there is on the surface a sense of decorum. Who knows what happens when the microphones are off,
but, right,
you know.
So I just applaud the coffee shop for making it, when people enter that coffee shop, they're going to think about it and go,
Oh, that's right. I usually just go up and hand him my money and say, small coffee.
Yeah.
I don't take any time to make that person feel good.
I do.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I am spreading sunshine and rainbows.
You are.
As often as I can. My words of wisdom are very simple, and it uses a bad word.
Uh-oh. Every other podcast, you're guaranteed a bad word from Dan.
Yeah. I'm a guy, and I spread sunshine and rainbows, but I got a potty mouth. I'm not going to lie to you about that. It's very simple. Don't let the bastards get you down.
All right.
Because it'd be real easy to buy into the negativity around you at all times. And this, I'm talking to myself. Like, I was talking to myself with this advice on the way over here because I work with people. Some people are fun to work with. Some people a little passive aggressive mm-hmm. at times. I'm like, and some people are just aggressive at times. And, we're all on the same team. We're all trying to move everything. And I'm not just talking about people at work. I'm talking about the human race trying to move forward together and to create a better place to live, not just for us, but for the generations that follow us. So it's real easy to buy into the negativity, especially mm-hmm. in the wintertime when there's no sunshine and there's clouds and all that stuff. But you can't let the bastards get you down. You've got to consistently remind yourself you have one life, and you do with your life what you choose with the things that are within your control. And I don't know. You can't choose happiness is so trite. But you can choose joy.
Yes.
So that's all right. Maybe those are my words of wisdom. Don't let the bastards get you down and choose joy.
There you go. No, but it's
not so wise this week.
About focus. I think people have, you were human. So you get derailed a little bit sometimes where you could get sucked into some of that.
Yeah. And you know what?
You just have to get back.
If you do, it's okay.
You just have to get back.
It happens. You just cannot lose the light. You can't.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Wise.
Good deal.
It's all about positivity.
Right. And if you find yourself like you're like the Lexington, what's her name?
Betsy.
I can't believe that.
Betsy.
It's my mother's name. I can't believe. Right. If you find yourself like Betsy or you or anybody else, like this is not where I wanted to be in life, it's okay to change.
Yes.
It's you're still alive. You're still drawing breath. So that's where we'll leave you, everyone.
You're still alive.
Yes. connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/40ishpodcast.
I believe so.
I'm guessing. I should know that. I just have a link to it on the side of my page.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Find us on Twitter at Dan Vonderhyde at LouFamFun.
LouFamFun.
You know what? And if you provide feedback to the show at any time through our website at 40ishpodcast.com or #40ish on Twitter, because I love Twitter. I think you do too.
Yes, and we have had some comments from listeners, so it's nice to hear that, to know what they like, what they'd like to hear more of.
And if you want me to just shut up, then I'll shut up.
All
you
right.
got to let me know. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next week.